Welcome to This Justin, the show bringing you the latest advancements in healthcare, strategy, innovation, and public policy. And now, for the fastest voice in healthcare, here's your host, Justin Barnes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the special edition of This Justin Radio. I'm your host, Justin Barnes. Today, we're broadcasting live from the HIMSS Annual Conference in Orlando, HIMSS 24, broadcasting from Radio and Podcast Row. Before we get too far, though, let me thank my radio and on-air producers, Greg Masters and Roberta Mullen. Thank you so much, team. Some of this came together at the last minute, and Greg was fantastic, and Roberta is always amazing. It's great to work with you guys always, and this is actually my 10th year straight, as my first broadcast was live from HIMSS 15 in Chicago. So thanks again for helping me keep this streak going. That was a phenomenal event and launched a great annual trend of key thought leaders sharing best practices and strategies to successfully navigate the future of healthcare. So over the next few days, we're bringing you the latest in industry's most sought after CEOs, CIOs, care providers, policy leaders, and visionaries. If you miss any of this episode and broadcast, all my content for This Justin Radio is posted to iTunes, iHeartRadio, SoundCloud, Spreaker, Google, and on the TuneIn platforms. As many of you know, my goal for broadcasting live each year for the HIMSS annual conference is to create an information medium that shares best practices, strategies, and actionable intelligence from the industry's leading sources and experts. We're also fortunate to have many of these guests as initial members of our Health Innovation Think Tank, where we transparently share healthcare and digital health best practices, as well as key strategies. You can find out more about the Think Tank at healthinnovationthinktank.com. My goal, along with all my guests here, will be to offer tactics and strategies to not only survive, but to thrive. You're going to even hear that from my good friend Rasu Shrestha, who'll talk about surviving and thriving in his upcoming episode. But it's important that we all thrive as we navigate our hospitals, physician practices, our companies, or even your families through all these changes occurring in healthcare. There's more opportunity than ever before for all of us to thrive, but we must understand how healthcare is evolving, how policy and reimbursement is shifting, and where best practices and innovation can support our efforts. I hope you glean all of that over the next few days of broadcasting. That's at least my goal. Thanks again, and off to my next guest. Welcome back to This Justin Radio Show, broadcasting live from HIMSS 24 in sunny Orlando. I'm very, very excited to introduce my next guest and great, great friend of the show, Anish Chopra, co-founder and president of Care Journey, and you have a lot of other titles, but welcome back to the show, my good friend.
Thank you, my friend. Excited to be here.
Yeah, excited to catch up and certainly dive in. First of all, when did you get in town for the show? And don't say a moment ago.
Last night, unfortunately. Okay. It's been a rough week, but I'm excited about the time today.
Amen.
A lot of collaboration.
Yes. And and actually HIMSS goes through, you know, several more days too, I think. But a lot going on. As you and I were catching up off air, it's been a great show. A lot of new faces, action-packed, some really cool innovation. Actually, John was my very first guest. Phenomenal AI discussion, actually, in what he's doing and been able to be involved in.
But our guru and our hero.
Amen, amen. And he loves you too. So we've had a great conference so far. It's with Wednesday, a lot of people still here, so you're going to hit a lot of good stuff today. And like I said, a lot of new faces, which is just really encouraging.
So I think what we need to figure out is how do we harness the energy of the new participants. This mm-hmm. idea of bringing this horizontal capability of AI into the vertical of healthcare is going to bring new energy. I'm excited mm-hmm. about the mission orientation for some of the folks who are getting into AI. They want to in the 90s and 2000s, a lot of the tech firms attracted folks to solve social media sort of revenue growth.
Yeah.
And that didn't have the same mission.
That's right.
Appeal.
Not at all.
And now, given what we've learned about what's happened on social media, it's a lot more, I guess, personally rewarding to be able to focus on use cases that matter. And so helping people get better healthcare is probably the number one feedback I hear. And of course, yep. I'm biased. So now the question is, how do we get them plugged into a more public-private collaborative mindset, since our healthcare system is very, very public-private? It's about as 50-50 as it gets.
It's very true. Great point. So before
Let's
we
dive in, my brother.
Yeah,
yes.
Before we dive in deep, though, what do you, I mean, because I always start the show off on a real positive note. What progress are you most excited to see in the industry today?
Well, for sure, I have to acknowledge the successes on interoperability. The launch of the QHINs mm-hmm. and the TEFCA networks in December really does feel like a new set of energy around, hey, we've been waiting a decade for this, and wait a minute, now we think it's coming, and now it's about execution
right.
as opposed to waiting for the next policy shoe to drop. That's positive. The role of FHIR APIs and the modernization of the tech stack it's now at scale. I mean, organizations, if you're not fire first, I don't know what you are. You don't walk into this room without an answer to the question of how do you share data. It's going to be through fire API. So I think these two things, the frameworks for legal data sharing, the kind of the TEFCA agreements combined with the technical modernization, now what we're going to see is the tuning and optimization. Of course, the backdrop, given the positivity, there's a little bit of negativity. The backdrop of the change, cyber attack, still reverberates, and happy to dive into any and all of it at your convenience.
Well, you know what? Let's take a little bit, because we do have a lot of new people, new faces, certainly new listeners right now, but new faces here at HIMSS. You're one of the godfathers of unleashing data. So why don't you spend 30 seconds or a minute educating people on, because you've been doing this now well over a decade plus, just unleashing the importance of unleashing data, and also from the federal government side and the private sector side.
Yeah.
So talk about that.
So the theory of change in care delivery, if we were to say, like, what do you do to make the healthcare system better? How do we root out the 30% proverbial waste? The formula, as we conceived of it in the Obama administration, was that if we opened up data, facilitated data sharing, and rewarded people to use the information to give people better care through value-based care payments, we should unleash this virtuous cycle of what I'll call deflationary innovation. Healthcare largely has been the world of inflationary innovation.
That's right.
Good stuff, but it costs the system more. We need deflationary innovation. And I think the release of data was critical. So the two main drivers of data sharing are, one, the big database at CMS that has all the receipts for every claim in Medicare and Medicaid has now become publicly accessible. So we can learn about what's happening in the industry. My job, my firm at Care Journey is a very large researcher on that data.
Yes.
Secondly, that I should be able to access my personal data in a format that my my apps on my phone can understand and use. So that became the pathway to fire standardization. So these are the two forms of data liberation, and we're still making our way through the incentives piece, but you need all three together to truly unleash the value.
Fantastic. No, I want people to understand the importance of this, engaging, you know, APIs and engaging fire. If you're in an innovative organization or even any organization in healthcare, you go to see how can you implement this in your organization? How can this help you fuel data, unleash your data, integrate and interoperate with the rest of the industry?
That's right.
And really fuel this journey. Because again, deflationary, you know, those reducing our cost, which is deflationary. What was it called?
Innovation, deflationary, new deflationary ideas that innovation. Lower the total cost.
I love that. Yeah. I love that term. So completely agree. So what are a few healthcare or digital health trends that you're seeing in the industry today?
Well, look, overarching everything is AI.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you cannot imagine a future. So now the question is responsibility.
That's right.
So we've just ushered in the first round of regulations in AI, and it's tied to the electronic health record systems. So they must now make information more transparent. The models that are used have to describe the fair, accurate, valid, sort of a safe protocol. So there's a transparency obligation and a risk management framework. So if you're going to do real-time clinical decision support, you know, to do sepsis monitoring, that would take a certain amount of risk if you get it wrong. Patients' lives are at stake if you make judgments. But longitudinal, like figuring out who the patients are that are most likely to have cancer to get them in for cancer screening, lower risk, really high return. So I actually believe the trend of AI applied in the outpatient setting for population health use case is where there is the bright spot of lower risk, higher societal return. And so I'm putting all of my energy on driving that type of front-end disease detection and active monitoring.
Love it. So you touched on this a little bit. Next kind of follow-up question is, what are a few best practices for somebody to implement that type of a strategy today or engage that successfully with their organization?
Yeah, so to me, it comes down to business model. Who are you and why are you interacting with my medical records?
Yep.
So right now, we don't really have what I'm hoping is an industry of health information fiduciaries. So I, the patient, opt in and I grant you permission to assemble my medical record, run the decision support, and then guide me on every step of the way. Absent that as a, you know, we don't have a 401k plan for our health data.
Right.
And I would dream of it. And there's a discussion to have about what we can do to make that a reality. In the short run, that is the accountable care organization. So if you're in an ACO, it's an opt out fiduciary, not an opt in. So what that basically means is that you trust your doctor and they can introduce a service that's care coordination in between the visits. So there's an active partner guiding you, and that partner will increasingly be powered by AI. So to me, it's about finding the right business model and legal home for the technology, not the technology itself.
I love it. So let's spend a second before we dive into the crystal ball and the future strategies. Tell us a little bit about what Care Journey does and how you work with CMS's data in general, but tell us a bit about Care
Well,
Journey.
The Affordable Care Act is the gift that keeps on giving in terms of making healthcare better.
That's right.
Section 10332, for those of you who are listening, was the release of Medicare data for provider performance measurement. Care Journey is the largest commercial researcher in the CMS data environment for the purposes of scoring doctors. We can tell you who the best doctor is for back pain. We use openly available algorithms run on open data. And we have about 125 members who chip in a membership fee, and we give them access to the same output from U.S. News or World Report that's starting to incorporate quality data on their website to a whole bunch of Medicare ACOs that are the bread and butter of what we do. In addition, we launched our very first FHIR API product called Care Accelerator in the fall of last year. It's because CMS was the first to dog food the FHIR API for health plans, which means a doctor gets a daily feed of what's happening to their patients, whether they're seeing that doctor, which is knowing their own information, or more likely the neighborhood healthcare ecosystem. That feed carries a lot of clinically relevant signal. So we're taking a lot of the benchmarks we do at the national data set, running it at a patient's FHIR API in the context of helping that doctor better coordinate their care. So back to the statement about where we are in the roadmap of applying advanced technology for purposes of making value-based care work, and this health information fiduciary concept, we've put our toe in the water recently. So that's our roadmap.
Love it. So thinking beyond today, what do you see as a key strategy or trend that we must be ready to navigate successfully in 3 years from now? I know we're in healthcare and it's a big question, but
But I would say this is about the era of FHIR convergence. So we have two completely different data sharing infrastructures. For billing and administrative transactions, you are on legacy EDI transactions. Yeah. And that has been in the news given the Change cyber attack. The alternative is a FHIR API-based approach where you have more resiliency because it's got the power of the internet. If you don't like your vendor that's helping you do submit claims, switch it to a different app, download the app and go. It's as easy as substituting an app on your iPhone. That is the versus a hard-coded EDI workflow integrated piece of software. So I think we're going to move. My guess is over the next 3 to 5 years, you're going to see a relaxation of the EDI requirements, the HIPAA mandates, and there's going to offer FHIR-based options. And we saw the beginnings of this with the CMS prior authorization rule. Prior authorization is supposed to be EDI-based, but they've offered a FHIR alternative, and they've said that you are not required to offer the EDI option. So you're not going to force health plans to have two technical infrastructures for the same use case. It's one. And I think that's the beginning of a basically a slippery slope where all transactions are going to be FHIR-based. Scheduling,
which
claims,
is a great thing.
And USCDI, for sure.
Excellent. Love that. What are you hoping to achieve in the next day or so and a couple of days you're here?
Collaboration. HIMSS is the place where everyone is physically present.
Yes.
And we can bring the public sector and the private sector together. In about an hour or two, we host our annual FHIR Implementers Roundtable where we get people to raise their hands and say, I'm going to help the president advance the cancer moonshot. Yeah. I'm going to help the president on sync for social needs. Yeah. We're going to work together on administrative burden reduction through data sharing.
Yep.
And so all of this is going to be possible. And I'm just grateful for the HIMSS family for opening up this very impressive gathering for purposes of that kind of collaboration. And it's done. It's not really official on the books type meetings. It's like almost like a meetup, if you will. But it works. And I'm grateful for the HIMSS team to support it.
Yeah, actually, I had some of them roll through the show yesterday. And this is the largest group of basically Capitol Hill, but staffers, regulatory side, legislative side that we've had since 2019, rolling through. So we're getting the collaboration back again. COVID obviously slowed some of it down, and then we didn't engage Capitol Hill quite as much as we were doing that before COVID. But now things are really back all on track.
This is one of those few bipartisan areas that we can work together on. And so I'm really grateful. You need a platform to convene, and I think HIMSS has offered that platform, and I'm grateful for it.
Absolutely. And they continue to foster it, which is great because we desperately need it. I encourage my guests yesterday to to let their voice. I met you first time actually at a White House roundtable meeting.
That's right.
And let our voices be heard. Let all of our leadership, all of our hard work, all of our innovation, share our best practices with the government, vice versa, public, private. public-private collaboration. All voices are respected and wanted. I mean, that's one thing I learned, you know, being on the Hill almost 20 years.
That's right. And, yeah. And again, this is about modernization moving forward, not left versus right. This is
absolutely
forward-looking,
right.
Not backward-looking. So fingers crossed we're going to continue that tradition.
We will, my friend. Anish Chopra, thank you so much for joining me on air. Have a great rest of your
conference. Justin, my friend, thanks for having me.
You got it, brother. Always, man. Thank you very much. I'm very excited to introduce my next guest and great friend of the show, Matt Atherton, CEO of Chronic Care IQ. Welcome back to the show, my friend.
Thank you, Justin.
It's always good to see you. So obviously the show's been action-packed for you so far.
It has. I mean, HIMSS is a big event, and this one's as big as any that I've ever been to.
Yeah. Now, a lot of, it's like old home week as well. You walk around here and you see 300, 400 of your closest friends from the industry for the last 15, 20 years. And in the last meeting that you and I actually attended, someone said to me, how long have you and Matt known each other? And I'm like, Matt and I think like 15 years or so, maybe at this point. So
Every bit of that.
You got it. So, I mean, starting off at a high level, and I love this first question because I want to, you know, a positive spin. We all know there's a lot of issues out there, and obviously healthcare and a lot of opportunity, but also a lot of costs and all this kind of stuff and complexity. But what are you most excited to see? What progress are you most excited to see in healthcare today?
Yeah. So as you mentioned, you and I go back a ways. We're starting to see these things that were conceptual initially, like the triple aim and the quadruple aim and value-based care. But what we're seeing is they're really taking shape into real things with money attached to them. So at-risk contracting, the different Medicare programs, ACOs, et cetera, there's a reality to them, and there's an ROI to them that it goes beyond just, hey, conceptually we should be doing this. We're seeing it happen now across the spectrum of healthcare, from big systems to little systems. There's 25 reimbursements for keeping track of patients between visits that are in the fee-for-service model now. So everything's taking shape from a vision or an idea now into practice.
Yeah, and before we dive into some more of your thought leadership, I think it's very interesting that you brought this to my attention earlier today, and this goes for everybody who's listening and the opportunity before you. How many providers are being reimbursed today on the, we mentioned, I mean, this is a very small number. When you think of all the care providers in America, what is the number that you were given earlier today on the reimbursements happening and the codes that are being paid on?
Sure. So there are two kinds of codes in care management. There's a device code if you get readings from patients on electronic devices. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of companies that are pushing those out to doctors. But the time codes,
right?
There are now more than 25 monthly recurring reimbursement codes that pay practices for the amount of time that they spend on non-face-to-face activities for certain types of patients. And it's extravagant. It pays at a rate of $192 an hour, broken down into 20-minute increments. Mm-hmm. There are only about 35,000 doctors capturing those time codes. And it's work they do every day. Medication refills, care coordination with specialists, med recs with the pharmacy, talking to the patients, talking to their loved ones. In fact, it's everything that staff are doing when they're not in a room with a patient is now reimbursed. Yeah. And either doctors don't know about it or they're having trouble tracking that time to submit it.
Right. I mean, a significant number of those are your customers. That's pretty amazing. Yeah. I mean, it shows the opportunity out there. I was just shocked when you mentioned that number. I would have bet that number was, I mean, 6-10x that, you would think about it. Because the amount of money that, you know, even your customers are making today and the additional reimbursements that they're getting for doing standard work and, you know, care management they would naturally do anyhow just to be a great provider, they're getting paid for it now by using your platform. And so I was just shocked at that low number. But
I was too.
Yeah.
We made them run the data twice.
Yeah. A lot of opportunity.
In 2023, so it's relatively current.
Very new, yeah. Very relevant. So what healthcare or digital health trends are you seeing in the industry today?
Remote monitoring, right? The amount of people that are getting plugged in that are asking to learn about it. We had a record number of inbound meeting requests in February. So we've been growing at a rate of 100% a year, year over year. But February, you know, it just started. I feel like we're kind of out of the innovation curve and we're moving into an up early adoption.
Right.
But look, the model of waiting for the sick to get sicker, it just doesn't work. And I think with meaningful use and the EHR adoption, we had a little bit of a hangover and a fear of, hey, do I want to embrace technology in my practice? It didn't always work out perfectly.
Right.
But now, that, you know, almost every patient has a smartphone, that we can constantly be in touch and constantly get more data. I expect it to accelerate at an accelerating rate.
I know you love that term. That's great. I know. Exactly. I completely agree. And I think as we see, you know, I wrote an article in January, talked about the tipping point with these, because of these codes and where care management is going and the simplicity of how to, you know, work with platforms like yours. I do believe we're at the tipping point where care providers are putting these into play, and then we're never going to turn back. More money than ever is being invested in this space. More doctors than ever are using these types of codes. Obviously not as many as we want them to, but they're growing.
They will.
We won't turn back. CMS is not going to turn back. CMS will always perfect its regulation. We're only going to increase. These codes will only increase. Reimbursement will only increase. I think you mentioned to me a couple weeks ago when we were talking offline, I think the average hospital stay is what, $15,000 per episode or something like
close
that?
Close to.
Yeah. So if you can, you know, if you can, and not only head off those hospital stays, which I know you can, I think the average provider in one of your studies is reduced reimbursement by readmissions and admissions by 29.6%, almost 30%, basically. So we can absolutely, you know, pull out billions of dollars of costs of our healthcare system, but also give patients a much higher quality of life. I know that's why you got in it. You're one of my, you know, very first guests in the radio show and talking about why, you know, you got into this business initially as a patient. So spend a second on that before we go on to, my next question here.
Yeah. So at 30 years old and that, you know, 23 years ago now, I started getting really thirsty, and then I started losing weight. And then I started my body was cramping up, and, I actually went to the emergency room because I don't know why, but I thought it would just go away. Right. Mm-hmm. I've been healthy all my life.
We all think that, but yeah.
I learned in the emergency room that I had type 1 diabetes. I was told that I was days and maybe hours away from being in a coma.
Wow.
And so that was when I first really started to engage with the healthcare system and seeing a doctor. And it was just really hard to stay on the same page. And that's what originally, right, led me into the EMR business and going into medical technology. I was a database guy before that. And that's kind of the long road we've been on. It's culminated here. It's like we can tell doctors how their patients are doing between visits. We can pick up a whole lot of data out of the EHR, out of the phone system, and by engaging the patient directly and predict disease progression with some relative degree of accuracy, as well as track all of the time and the things that are going on to actually accumulate those 8 different categories of 25 different CPT codes that pay for the time that practices are spending on these patients when they're not in the office, as well as give them a relative degree of accuracy on, hey, somebody should reach out to this patient today or tomorrow and say hello to them. Yep. And find out what's going on.
Yep. No, and you kind of just covered my next question too. It naturally led in, you know, what are a few best practices or strategies that you can share to help others, you know, navigate, my audience navigate these trends? But I mean, you touched on some of those, but what else would you share with my audience around navigating CCM codes, how to get started, and opportunity there?
Yeah. And I'm glad you asked that question because, I think become familiar with these reimbursements, right? There are some specifically for primary care. They started in primary care. There's now specialty care.
Yep.
There are non-physician reimbursements for physical therapy and respiratory care. There are reimbursements that cover behavioral health and collaborative care management, so really complex types of behavioral health. Yep. There are reimbursements for chronic pain management. There are reimbursements for pre and post surgical. And the first thing is figure out, could we be getting reimbursed for the amount of non-face-to-face time we spend on patient care? It's a huge amount of time. Learn more about those. You can learn them, of course, at our website, Chronic Care IQ. But you can go to Medicare's website and look at care management and CCM, and they'll tell you there's a lot. They know that by engaging patients between visits, they're going to prevent hospitalization. So
absolutely,
they're pouring money into it. It's really worthwhile.
Absolutely.
So that's the, if I could say one thing to do, become aware of the additional reimbursements available to your practice as is.
Yep.
Right. Without doing anything differently. Find out what reimbursements you're leaving on the table.
In 30 seconds or less, what's the fastest growing market or sector in your customer base today that you're seeing coming into your company? I know it's a tough question.
It's care management companies.
Okay.
So it's third-party companies, maybe nurses that didn't want to work in the hospital, didn't want to work in a doctor's office, that partner with a doctor and say, listen, I'll keep tabs on these patients for you with this technology. That's the fastest growing.
That's awesome.
I love them.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to see is every primary care doctor, every small practice, because they're bending over backwards to keep the lights on. And there is such a wealth of benefit from having a platform like ours that's picking up and helping you keep tabs on patients. It's better patient care. It's tangible.
Mm-hmm.
The revenue's extravagant, right? Yep. The number one thing that administrators say is that, hey, it reduces inbound phone calls, so it streamlines operation. The number one thing nurses say, it makes complex easier to care for. The number one thing doctors say is it helps me keep patients out of the hospital.
Right.
Nobody is saying reimbursement,
right?
Although on average it's $150,000 per doctor
additional
per year
evidence.
In additional reimbursement.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we're afraid to talk about that in healthcare.
Right. Well, maybe it wants to be clinical, not financial, but yeah.
But it's a huge benefit.
Yep.
Right?
Excellent. Well, my last question, 1 minute or less or so, because I know you're a great thought leader, you've been doing this a long time. Thinking beyond today, what do you see as a key strategy or trend that we must be ready to successfully navigate 3 years from now? I know it's tough. It's always a hard question, but what are you thinking about?
It's clear to me. It's consumerism. It's the rise of the patient.
That's excellent. That's excellent.
I don't know.
No, I mean, you're, I think
more,
you're... No,
the
you're,
buyer always wins, mm-hmm. and we're going to see that power return to the patient.
So that was Rasu's answer yesterday on the show, talking about Rasu Shrestha from Advocate Health. But he talked about patient engagement. We've always wanted to talk about that, but patient empowerment. So, Denzing, to your point,
yes,
is
absolutely.
Getting this, you know, getting these engaged, educated, and empowered patients, and then not only engaging them, but also having them navigate healthcare and successfully supporting their navigation of healthcare and their own personal care and their family's care, which, you know, is big to you as well.
It has been big to me. My father was recently hospitalized. I am blown away at the difference in between two different health systems of where he's been hospitalized.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a huge advocate of, I don't know if I should say their name or not, but there's one system stands out.
It's for good. So, yeah, you can say it.
So my father was hospitalized from his assisted living home to WellStar.
Mm-hmm.
And
in Atlanta, yeah.
I literally, from the people that were taking our order in the lunchroom to the nurses to the doctors, they had such a focus on care and helping the families navigate the care. Yeah. I don't think he could have gotten better care anywhere.
I love to hear it because people like to complain about stuff, but my show's for good and for positive stuff. So
I mean, there's positives I can say about all of them, but I was
as somebody
that works with health systems across the country, I was just blown away by the care that he and we received at WellStar.
Love it, love it, love it. Matt Ethington, thank you very much for joining me on air today and have a great rest of your conference, my friend.
Always a pleasure, Justin. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.